Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Verse 28 of the reading for today. Pay attention, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The Monday after Symposia Week is something of a letdown. The brilliant and challenging guest speakers are gone, and students are left with the same old professors with their predictable lectures. The crowds of far-flung pastors back to the seminary to be reinvigorated with theological discussion, good cigars, some Lutheran brew, and the latest gossip about synodical politics. Well, they've gone home, and professors are left with the same old students and their predictable excuses for a late paper or a missed class. Now, if post-symposia melancholy and the gray, bone-chilling climate of northern Indiana are not enough to get you down, along comes the day of St. Titus, pastor and confessor. And with this day in the church year, a text that calls you into question. What are you doing here? And what might be your fate once you leave this place? The setting is Paul's taking leave of the pastors of Ephesus as he sets his face toward Jerusalem. Paul's parting speech to the Ephesian elders echoes the farewell discourse of the Lord Jesus on the night of his betrayal. And that should be no surprise, for the apostles are molded in the image of Jesus. Apostolic lives are cruciform in shape. The servants are maligned just as the Master is. Sent by the Lord Jesus who endured the cross, there will also be a cross, his cross, for those who heed his call. So Paul catalogs the tears and the trials that had come upon him through the plots of the Jews. And as he prepares to go to Jerusalem, he anticipates imprisonment and affliction that most surely will await him there. And as he looks at that beloved congregation, he foresees the wolves who are even now at the door, who will come in after his departure and mercilessly ambush the sheep that he has cared for so earnestly. He envisions the false teachers who will tickle the itching ears of some of his Ephesians, beguiling them with distorted doctrines that draw people away from the truth of Jesus into the darkness of unbelief. No wonder that the occasion is marked with tears. In view of all that had already happened to him and the suffering that was surely in his future, with the knowledge that the church he tended in Ephesus would suffer attack from within and from without by traitor and by foe, Paul is not defeated by despair. He has confidence that the ministry that he has received from the Lord Jesus is God's ministry. Jesus is acting in and through Paul's preaching to establish his kingdom, to call together his holy flock, the sheep who hear the Good Shepherd's voice. Just as Paul would leave Titus in Crete to care for the Church of God as an overseer, so now Paul leaves these pastors with an exhortation. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the Church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Pay attention to yourself. Paul would say essentially the same thing in his letter to Titus, as he would instruct him that an elder must be above reproach, a man of one woman, able to govern his own children, not arrogant or quick-tempered, not a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy word as the word that he was taught, and so be equipped and able to instruct people in sound doctrine and to defend that doctrine when under attack. In other words, the pastor must pay attention both to his life and to his doctrine. Of the two, doctrine remains the foremost. No one is converted by the pastor's life. But when the doctrine is contradicted by the life of the pastor, the words that he proclaims may fail to get a hearing. John Chrysostom comments that a pastor has to have eyes that look in 1,000 different directions. Paul speaks of the pastor looking to himself and to the flock. Paying attention to self has not so much to do with personality as it does with character formed by God's word and sacraments in the community of the church. The last 2 or 3 decades have witnessed the publication of a lot of books with titles such as The Pastor as Person. William Willimon critiques this genre of pastoral self-help literature as he writes, "I think that most of the ethical problems of pastors are not due to our forgetting that we are persons, but rather when we forget that we are pastors." Pastoral amnesia is an epidemic. Who is the pastor? CEO, player coach, enabler, counselor, mentor for the purpose-driven life, take your choice, wear your hat. And that is why we at this seminary need the day of St. Titus, pastor, and confessor. For it serves to help us remember who pastors are and what they are here to do. It is not an office of lordship, but as service, as you are reminded in the liturgy when you announce the absolution as a called and ordained servant of the word. It is not about the accumulation of wealth or self-fulfillment or reputation or churchly status. It is the office of giving care, God's own care in word and sacrament, to his church. It is the office that the Lord Jesus has established to care for his church, to care for the sheep bought with his precious blood. It belongs to him, and that alone is our final confidence. And so we heed the words of the apostle. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the Church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.